recognize these things. We'll be careful to give you the glory and praise and honor and credit you with all the doings in our life. We will join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. In the matchless, miraculous, and marvelous name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a topic, a tag to this message, the same as I had you to say to your neighbor earlier. God will deliver. How many believe that? Not too many, but that's okay. Amen. So what? The Bible says if some don't believe, does that make the word of God of none effect? Paul said, God forbid. In other words, no, it don't. Amen. It doesn't matter. Amen. He will deliver.
Well, our suffering. Amen. So he stressed the point, the sufferings of Christ. In other words, the very kinds of suffering that Christ bore himself, we can expect to be suffering the same way. Amen. The Bible said we have not a high priest that don't feel our infirmities. How do you think he feel our infirmities? Because he went through some stuff. Yeah. Oh, we say, oh, but my loved one doing this and that. Well, do you know you his loved one? And while you were doing this or that, come on and say, man. He was still waiting on you, still believing for you, still hoping for you. I wish I had somebody. Let's look at some of the things that we never really looked at. I haven't really looked at all of the things that he might have suffered, like some of us or some people that we might know. Guess what? He was born, his mama got impregnated before she was married. He had to deal with that. Somebody remembered that his mama wasn't married. Y'all, somebody in the neighborhood in Nazareth knew that she was pregnant before she got married. So you know they talked about him. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah. Come on. Back then you had to be mad. And if something happened, oh, yeah, they talked about him and his mama. He was born in the worst conditions. He didn't even have room to get born in the hospital. He was born out in a manger, in a cave. I wish I had somebody. He was not only that, but he was born to parents that were somewhat poor, that strangers had to come bless him. Preaching here. He was not only that, but he had his life threatened as a baby. I wish I had somebody. The devil tried to kill him, and he had to be taken and hidden in Egypt so that he could survive and live. Listen to this. He was the only one in his graduating class from his... Oh, I wish I had somebody. Because the Bible said that they killed all the children that were 3 years old and under, to all the male children, so that he would not have a classmate. Everybody he played with had to be older than him, younger than him. He was the only one. Y'all with me today? Oh, I know you feel like the only one. So he was the only one. Lord have mercy. He suffered unimaginable sorrows. And in his youth, you know, Joseph died when he was young. So he was left to support the family and do work to make sure his mama had and his sisters and brothers had. I wish I had somebody. So he knew what we were dealing with. He was hated by the religious folks. Come on and say, man, he didn't have nowhere to lay his head. He went from one place to the next place. I wish I had somebody in the house. He was charged when they said that he was insane. They say he think too much of himself. Oh, yeah, he got a big ego. He was accused of being conceited. I know I've been there before. Amen. Oh, yeah, he was accused of being possessed with a demon. They said he do all these miracles by Beelzebub. I wish I had somebody. Not only that, but his own family disowned him. I wish I had somebody. They shook their head at him and didn't even know who he was. Anybody been like that? You had any falling outs with your family? Well, Jesus went through the same thing. So he knows exactly what you're dealing with. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, he had folks that say, oh, we don't like what he's preaching. I know I've been there. I had people that say they don't like how I preach. I don't care. I'm still going to preach the way I preach. I wish I had somebody. Not only
that, but everybody can say, man, I hope to this. At some point in your life, you've been betrayed by a real close friend because Judas betrayed him with a kiss. So we have somebody who suffered, who know what we go through and been through what we've been through. And, oh, I wish I had somebody. But he handled it better than we handled it because I wanted to do some things to some folks. And thank God that he was able to hold me. I say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And I tell him, you ought to be glad that God saved me because that just saved you preaching this house. And but thank be to God that Jesus was able to let Judas kiss him. He was able to be betrayed and go to a rugged cross. He suffered the ultimate death by dying the death of the cross. He was rejected. He was left alone by his friends. Anybody feel like that? Oh, come on and say amen. He was judged falsely by other folks. Anybody ever been judged falsely by some folks that thought they had some position to be able to speak on your condition? Preach up in here. That's about as hard as it's going to get right there. He had some experiences. So we have not a high priest that don't feel our infirmities. He know what we've been through. I hope that hit home for somebody. Y'all, I don't know because the way we're looking today. Hallelujah. No matter what, we got to point out that the suffering may be terrible. His suffering was terrible. But God showers us with comfort, just like he did Jesus. Oh, come on and say amen. At some point, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou? In the hardest time of his life, he called out. But then he said, I commend my spirit. See, we got to submit ourselves to him. No matter what you go through, how hard it gets in your life. Y'all bored already? We got to know that whatever trial we go through, that he's already borne our trials. That's what he's saying here. He said, I'm speaking these things to you in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, these things I've spoken unto you that you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, be happy, have some joy about this. I know you. The Bible tells us to be joyful, but how can we be joyful when I got tears in my eye? I can have tears in my eye and have the joy of the Lord to be my strength because I know I'm going to make it. I know God will deliver. I know it's going to be all right. See, sometimes we got to understand that sometimes people who suffer, sometimes we can become self-centered. Sometimes we can start feeling sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we can begin to feel some self-pity and some apathy, and we want some special attention. You know how it is. I got a bobo I want you to see. We want some special attention. And sometimes if we don't get that, we become bitter. Amen. We can't afford to allow these things to happen. We got to say, the only attention I really need is that from God. And since I need his attention, I'm going to get in his face. How can I get in his face? I'm coming to by the blood of Jesus. I approach the throne of grace by the mercy seat, by the blood of Jesus. And I'm here, Lord God, to pray and to thank you, first of all, because you're sovereign. And you can do whatever you want to do. God stirs up our consolation by suffering. Sometimes we have to comfort others through our suffering. And sometimes, you know, somebody told me a while back that they had a young lady told me, she said they had sent a message to a pastor. And he said, I really am going through something. And I really need prayer. And he sent back and said, well, I can't help you because I'm going through stuff myself. Isn't that something? While I'm going through, at least I can pray for you. Because while I'm going through, I'm going to pray. And since I'm going through and I'm praying, I'm going to mention your name if you ask me to. Because, look, let me tell you something. My prayer itself don't have power, but the God I pray to, he has all power. Y'all with me this morning? We got to understand that he has all power. And just in case you think he forgot about you, I mentioned your name just so you'll know that God has you on his mind. Oh, come on and say amen. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took their time out and prayed for me. And I'm so glad to know today that there's somebody in the house that's praying for me. That's why I'm here preaching to you. Somebody that's praying for me. That's why I'm here standing before you to let you know that God will deliver. He'll deliver. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. He says that whether it be when we afflict it, it's for our consolation. He said, which is effectual in the enduring. You see, when we go through, it helps us that when we go through stuff that God consoles us and we went through last time, it helps us to be patient enough to go through the next time. Because we know that if nobody else don't do it, God can. Oh, y'all not with me this morning. He says that the enduring of the same sufferings in which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. We get comforted through our tribulation. It is for us to be encouraged, first of all, and for us to be set free from whatever binds us. Amen. I don't know about you, but there are some things sometimes that binds us. Sometimes I get bound with some stuff and my mind is on that stuff and I can't even think about the goodness of Jesus because this stuff is in my way. And so I got to go to God and he has to deliver my mind from thinking about that stuff. He has to deliver my mind. I wish I had somebody in the house other than me that say, hallelujah, thank you, God, that you're able to deliver. You won't forget about me. No matter where I go, Jesus will pick me up. If I have to reach way down, he'll come and get me. I wish I had somebody. He said, for in verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. See, that's the problem. We're ignorant when it concerns trouble. He said, ignorant of our trouble. I don't want you to be ignorant of the stuff that we go through, because sometimes people get the impression because, you go to church, you don't go through stuff. It's not that I don't go through, but I'm comforted while I go through. It's not that I don't go through, but he fixes me up and anoints me while I go through. What do you mean? The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing takes away the burden. What is the anointing? The anointing, the word anoint, it means to smudge and to smear. It means to paint up. And what that really means is as if a woman was painting her face with makeup. You know what happens is she covers up flaws. Nowadays, they got this makeup that's powerful. It make you look like you don't really look. And I realized that if that makeup, what her name, Rihanna got some makeup that, they bind it. They say, this stuff make you look good. And now, they make you up, they make you look good. And so guess what? If that makeup can make you look good physically, God's anointing can make you look good spiritually. And so therefore, I don't wrinkle even though I've been through the heat. I'm not drying out. Even though I've been through the storm, I wish I had somebody. I don't look wet down even though I've been through the rain. Oh, come on and say, man, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't even smell like the fire. I passed through it and I came out smelling like Versace. Better yet, I came out smelling like God, because that's who I've been close to. You ever been close to somebody and you got their perfume, a cologne on them, and you smell yourself later and say, I smell just like them after they hug me? I want you to know that's how it is when you get on your knees and hold on to God and say, God, I ain't gonna let you go until you bless me. Come here, Jacob, and God will bless you while you're in the secret chamber. He said that you ought to pray in your closet, and when you pray in your closet, that God will reward you openly. Do I have anybody that say, I came out smelling good? Nope, not smelling good, but I came out smelling God. I came out smelling like God. So when you smell me, you smelling God, because I've been so close to him through my trial. I didn't get further away from him, but I got close to the Lord. I wish I had somebody that said, just to be close to him. Oh, the closer I get to him, the more I feel like I'm coming out. The closer I get to him, the more I feel like praising. The closer I get to him, the more I realize how I got the victory. So I got a victory dance in advance. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, where am I? Verse 8.
says, for we, brethren, we would not have, brethren, you to be ignorant. Tell somebody, don't be ignorant. Trouble's coming. But we are in him. He said, which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed. Look at this, what Paul said. Lord have mercy. We were pressed out of measure. I want to talk now. I want you to listen now for real. He said, we were pressed out of measure. When I was young, we used to go to the railroad track. And we'd take pennies and quarters and nickels, put them on the track. When the train come through, it'd press them. And when it pressed them, they would expand to big. They would get bigger than they were. And so we complaining about the stuff that's increasing us. He said we were pressed out of measure. And when we get pressed, something on the inside of us has to come to the outside of us. And so I'm expanded. Oh, let me tell you, my faith is expanded because of what has pressed me. Paul said we went beyond what we were capable of handling. Let me go a little further. We were pressed out of measure, above strength. I couldn't stand myself up, Paul said. I couldn't prop myself up. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't do anything for myself. I couldn't give myself joy. Lord have mercy. He said, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, so much so that we thought it was time to go to the upper room. Y'all with me now? He said we went through so much trouble that I didn't have no strength to get up. I didn't have any strength to make it. I got pressed beyond and to the point that I was busted open and I had nothing that I could do about what I was in. And sometimes we need to know when you're in a situation that you can't do anything about. I can't change a thing. Now it's time to let him have his way. He said, but we had the sentence of death on ourselves that we should not trust. And I said, look at this here. Paul said that we knew that it was going to be some stuff that was going to kill us. We knew that it was time for us to die. Come on and say amen. He said, but we found out that we weren't going to trust in ourselves. I wish I had somebody. Paul said, but we need to trust in God, which can raise the dead. Now, what was Paul saying here? Paul was saying, look, I want you to understand that we had some situations that seemed like it was going to take our life. But we didn't worry about our lives being taken. But all we worried about, all we thought about, I should say, is that we serve a God who's able to raise us if we die. Preach up in here. We need to understand what Paul was saying is that we don't have to worry about tomorrow, but just go ahead and praise him on today. Paul said, I've been through so much and I'm going through so much on his behalf. See, some of us, we're suffering and we're struggling, but we're not suffering and struggling in Christ. Oh, come on and say amen in here. We get into mess and we think God is supposed to come in and rescue us from the mess that we started. Preach. Oh, come on and say amen in here. He said, but he says that we were sentenced of death. He said we didn't have no trust in ourselves. We realized it ain't nothing we can do. Come on and shout amen in here. Oh, they ain't ready to go there either. I was on the airplane sitting by somebody. They said, oh, Lord, it's my first time flying. The plane did some, you know, what it do. And they said, you fly all the time, you ain't scared? I say, I realized a long time ago, ain't nothing I can do. I can grab the seat, it ain't gonna stop it from going down. I can holler, ain't gonna stop it from going down. I can grab the person next to me, but I gotta trust the Lord. Oh, y'all don't know. I in my mind, I just imagine the hand of God picking it up and putting it back down.
Because I can't just trust in the pilot. I can't trust in the co-pilot. I can't trust in the stewardess. I can't just trust in the airplane mechanic. I got to trust in the Lord. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Oh, glory be to his name. But Paul said that we can't trust in ourselves, but we got to trust in God who raised the dead. What was Paul saying here? That the same God that raised Jesus from the dead can raise me if I die in the situation that I'm in. And so I'm trusting that regardless of when he raised me. Y'all got to get this here. See, he may not raise me right away, but when Jesus cracks the sky and the dead in Christ shall rise first, I'm not going to stay in the grave. I wish I had somebody. But Paul said, I'm not worried about the things that might happen to me because I'm trusting in the God that holds me in his hand. Oh, come on and say amen. Jesus said, he that I have in my hand can no man pluck out. I know trouble tried to pluck you out. I know trials tried to pluck you out. I know situations tried to pluck you out. But I declare in the name of the Lord that God will deliver you. He'll keep you in perfect peace. I wish I had somebody. But look at what he said in verse 10. He said, who delivered us from so great death? In other words, Paul said that God delivered me now. But then he said, and doth deliver. It means that God will keep on delivering me tomorrow. I wish I had somebody. Then he said, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. In other words, there's some things that I hadn't been through yet that God already planned on delivering me from. I don't know about you, but you need to realize there are some things that you're going to go through on next week and maybe even next month or maybe even next year. But God has already planned to pick you up, turn your life around, place your feet on solid ground. Do I have anybody that say, I'm so glad that even though I'm in trouble now, that God is delivering me? Oh, come on and shout yes. I wish I had somebody that said, when tomorrow comes, I already know the Lord and he'll help me through tomorrow. Come on and shout yes. And when the enemy comes, in one way, I realize what God said. He'll flee seven ways. Do I have anybody that realized today that no weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper? Anybody in the house know that it won't work? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it won't work because God will deliver me. Anybody in the house know who I'm talking about? That God will deliver us. Somebody say yes. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Do I have any witnesses that say, I've been afflicted, I've been left for dead, I've been rebuked and scorned, talked about as sure as you're born, I've been lifted high, I've been dropped real low. I wish I had somebody. I've been talked about like a dog, called everything but a child of God. But I'm so glad, I'm so glad that it's God that'll deliver me. His arm is not short that he cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Do I have anybody that say, in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears? Anybody in the house know who I'm talking about? Anybody in the house can say, I lift my head unto the hills, for whence cometh my help? For my help, say, my help
come from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Do I have anybody that say it along with me? I've been through some stuff. I had a lot of things happen. I went to the Lord a few times. Paul said I went 3 times. But the Lord spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect when you're weak. Do I have anybody that say, I feel weak, but the Bible says, then you are strong. So let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm weak because of trials. I'm weak because of tribulation. I'm weak because of the pressure caused me to collapse. But I'm strong in the name of the Lord. Somebody say yes. Come on and give God glory. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to hold on to him until he bless me? The Bible says that it was Jacob that wrestled all night, and he said, I'm going to hold on until you bless me. But then I find out that Jacob came out of that walking with a limp. I wish I had somebody. He didn't walk the same after what he'd been through. Anybody in the house say, I'm not going to walk the same after I come through this trouble. Somebody say yes. I'm going to walk a little different. Apparently that walk that Jacob had when he was called Israel, it followed him till his old age, because the Bible says that upon his staff, I wish I had somebody, that he leaned on his staff and still worshiped the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because I know that my God will deliver me. What does deliver mean? It means that God will snatch me up. I wish I had somebody. He'll snatch me with the quickness, without warning, without telling me I'm about to do it. I just looked around. I wish I had somebody. I was in a horrible pit, but when I looked around, God had lifted me up. He lifted me. Love lifted me. Do I have anybody? Come on and shout yes. So why do I praise him? Because he's been through stuff that I can't imagine going through. He came down and died on an old rugged cross all because of me. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died. Anybody know he died? Say, he died, but early. Somebody say, early, early. Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power to deliver, power to save, power to raise. Anybody in the house know God is able? Tell your neighbor, won't God do it? Say, won't he do it? Won't God heal you? Won't God help you? Won't God deliver you? Anybody in the house got anything that you can put on your mind that'll make you say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Has he ever picked you up? Somebody say, won't he, won't he? Have he ever turned you around? Say, won't he, won't he? Have he ever calmed the storm? Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Has he ever made your enemies your footstool? Won't he do it? Has he ever comforted you when you seemed with no hope? But God came in. Somebody say, won't he, won't he? Say, won't he do it? Now, would you help me now? Just close this message, because some of y'all ready to go. But before I go, if you ain't too mean, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I may not know 3 things. I may not know 2 things, but 1 thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right.
Yes, he is.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.